Baya to support and promote research educational programming and the preservation of the history and traditions of harness and trotting horse racing through acquiring and maintaining collections of artifacts, memorabilia, and documents related to that history. This grant proposal meets that standard. Janet, executive director of the museum, is here, and if you can enlighten us and provide some discussion to how these funds will be utilized and
Sure, I'd be happy to.
That would be great.
Okay, I think that you've received what we've done in the past year with the monies that we have received. Really, Christine Roberts joined our staff. She had been on the staff prior, but this past year is really when she has developed many of the new educational and art programs that we've incorporated. Many of them have brought 4-H kids in, pony club kids in, and other horse clubs. She has been boots on the ground. She goes out to the stables and tries to interact with the children, interact with the parents, interact with the trainers who are at the barn, and say, you know, we will put on a nutrition program. No strings attached. You don't have to buy anything. You just have to come. It's a great educational program. She had, you know, different colors of yarn, different lengths of yarn to illustrate the digestive tract. It was fun. The kids loved it. She had feed in, you know, letting feed sit in water and see what happens to it. And then they did horse treats or something. They made little horse grain and molasses or something and stuck them together. Anyway, it was a fun thing. The kids had a blast. We probably had 34 kids at that. And she goes out to Horse Fun Day with 4-H demonstrated harness equipment that these kids have never seen. You know, these are usually hunter jumper kids or gymkhana kids. They don't know anything about harness racing. And, you know, tells them, you know, this is a way to blend two of your necessary life items, you know, passion for something you do, and making a living, or at least having fun with a side hobby. Her art skills are unparalleled, and we recently did a Courier Knives coloring session for adults, and they had a blast, all discussing the history of Courier Knives, the lithography process, and so there was a lot of educational value to it, as well as the fun of coloring. And the techniques that the Courier Knives used for that. Really, I just look forward to her developing more programs for children and more programs for adults, probably separately because of the difference in abilities. But she is our tremendous asset, and that's really what the money we receive from the Ag Fund is used for. In addition to the model horse that I want, because insurance regulations prevent us from having a live horse at the museum, and really to discuss points of the horse and harness a horse and do all those things, it's good to have a life-size model, and that's what some of that money's for.
Thank you so much, Jen. Sure. It was a great day. And I got to go around the track at a high rate, a modest rate of speed, I guess.
We'll come back, and come back when the weather's good, and we'll do it again.
Okay, thank you. Let's look at all the proposals before we make our decisions. The Goshen Historic Track is the second proposal. We did visit that also this year. They've requested that the fund provide a $50,000 grant for 2016. We supported the track's request earlier this year with a grant of $40,000, and they were used to renovate and rehabilitate the historic judges stand and bandstand. And now they're looking to partially cover the cost of rehabilitating the grandstand, which is an ongoing project. We can do this. It qualifies to meet our standards. Steve Jones, president of the historic track, is here. And Steve, can you enlighten us?
This morning he's not able to make it.
No, Steve. Okay. Is anyone here representing Steve or the historic track? Moving right along. Next up, the 4-H grant program. Our third grant proposal is from New York State 4-H. which submitted a grant request to the fund in the amount of $80,000. The funding would be dispersed over several programs, essentially provide for youth development. The fund has supported 4-H the past few years, and the support received has become an essential component of the 4-H programs. They have a wide reach in terms of rural and urban areas, and a long track record of extending resources effectively to Cornell Extension. This qualifies. And today we've got Andrew Turner, welcome back. State leader, Dr. Evan Conant. Sorry, thank you. Cornell University Equine Extension Specials in the Department of Animal Sciences, and Alicia Schick.
Good morning.
Did I do that right?
Yep.
New York State 4-H Events Coordinator with Cornell Cooperative Extension in Madison County. You have the floor, folks.
Thank you. I'm just going to get started briefly and thank the board for funding in the past and for listening to us again this year. Real quick context for you all, the New York State 4-H program is a large, diverse program. We reach about 175,000 youth per year in New York State. Overall, all of the programs fit into one or more of our three focus areas for 4-H youth development, which are STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, although we've come to start calling it STEAM, science, technology, engineering, agriculture, and math. We also have nutrition and healthy living programs and 4-H that are widely participated in, and also more of the citizenship piece, getting youth engaged in their communities and actively involved. So we feel that the 4-H Horse program actually fits all three of those areas. There are elements of the program that cover all three. We had over 3,000 participants in the Horse program this past year. It's a program that has been a constant success area for 4-H for many decades, continues to be very active. There are four elements to 4-H programs that I think make them really work and make them very much worth public investment. One is that our projects and programs appeal to young people. They have a passion and interest in the topic. The second one is it appeals to the parents, not only to have their youth involved, but also for them to become active volunteers. We have almost 20,000 volunteers in New York State that support the program. The third area is that there's a connection to the university, to Cornell. So we're able to bring that research base and apply it directly to the programming. And the fourth one is we have educators all over the state. We have an infrastructure in every county. So there are 4-H programs in every single county in New York State, as well as all five boroughs of New York City. So you put those four things together and you have something that works. And the Horse program has all four of those elements. But the youth love it. It appeals to volunteers. The program you're funded is heavily supported by volunteers. We have a strong group of educators out in the counties to help make it go. And we have Dr. Conant at Cornell to provide us with that research base to it. So that's just kind of an intro. I'm going to turn it over to Eva and Alicia to give you more details. Thank you all for listening.
So for 2016, this is what our focus is. We'll be utilizing the proposed program of tours, day clinics, educational events, camps, and activities at the New York State Fair in order to reach youth throughout New York in a program that prides itself on education and safety and the support of the equine industry. Okay, so our reach. So we have 3,095 students or youth enrolled in the 4-H program, and we hope to increase this enrollment with your support that would help us improve marketing, create new partnerships, educate the public, and encourage more participation. So this year we had 9 clinics throughout New York State that reached 1,165 participants. And these were the topics that were covered: equine science, hands-on learning, nutrition, anatomy, physiology, reproduction, and equine careers. We also had 3 train-the-trainer clinics that focused on hands-on learning with 70 participants, and that includes both youth and adults. And they focused on standard bred racing, conditioning and training, harnessing and equipment, equine massage therapy, Western massage, and driving. And Eva will go over our educational events.
It's actually interesting. You were talking about the program that with the yarn, and so that was actually developed. I think it's the same program called Horse Guts and Mass.
I don't know that that was what she called it.
I don't know, but we have basically the same thing that was developed by my predecessor.
Okay.
So I have lots of those sitting in my cabinets that I inherited. All right. So the educational contests. So these begin at the county level, and then you have to qualify from there to go to a regional level. Then they go on to a state level. And if they qualify from there, so the top four youth from each competition may qualify for the national competition, which happens in November. So there's sort of a progression up to the state level and then on to a national level with these. The first one that we'll talk about is horse bowl. So there are typically, and this was true last year, over 100 4-H youth that participate in the state level contest. There's much more than that that happens at the county and regional levels because they have to get through those levels before they even come to state. So this is the state level. This competition is, it's kind of like Jeopardy with horses. So you have a team of four youth and a second team of four youth, and they have buzzers and they go through questions and the kids buzz in with the answers. And I believe, was there somebody on the board that attended one of the county or the regional contests last year? I thought there was. But they,
you just have grandparents of 4-H kids.
No, mine.
Was it yours?
My son and daughter both, not in the horse bowl or hippology, but was in the presentations, in place of presentations.
Yeah.
But not in those.
But they, I mean, I would please, if any of you have, any of you have a chance to come to one of these in one of the counties or at a regional level or even at the state level, please come, because these kids study so hard and the questions that they can answer, it's really pretty incredible. I did not come up through the New Hampshire program, but I came up through the New Hampshire program, 4-H program, not the New York program. So, and I can tell you now, having been through an undergrad program in animal science and through vet school at Cornell, as a 4-H kid coming through these programs and competing in these types of educational competitions, it makes a big difference. And I was amazed at how much I knew coming into all of these things versus other students that had not come through this program. So the second one that we'll talk about here, so there's four competitions. The second one we'll talk about is the hippology, which did you say you were?
No, not hippology.
Not hippology. Hippology is sort of an all-around competition. So they have to compete in a written exam, they have to walk around and identify things, and those can be anything, right? So it can be bits and pieces of tack or a harness, saddle, that can be feed, it can be literally anything related to the horse world. And they have, and there's questions that are related to them, you have to answer the questions, it's a timed thing. They also have a slide portion where, again, a slide is presented, a question is asked, they have so long to answer it. And they have to do a judging component, so they have to go out and judge conformation and type, and all of these things combined for their score. So it's just this sort of all-around educational competition. And again, over 100 youth participate in this every year. This past year was no exception. We also have, with each of these competitions, a lot of volunteers that help run and organize all of this. So next we'll talk about, so the third one is horse judging. There's been a little bit less participation in this one. Mostly, we think because of the timing. This typically happens during the New York State Fair, while most of the other competitions happen earlier in the spring. So the thinking is that they are already committed. A lot of kids are already committed to other competitions by the time we get to the judging, which is the last one that happens. So that's why we think the participation may be a little bit less for this one, but we are taking that out of the fair this year and putting it in the spring in hopes to kind of get the numbers up a little bit. So they judge several classes. Some of them are written, some of them are confirmation classes. And they have, and then there, some of the classes are chosen, they have to write down their reasons for their placings. So they're judged on how well they judged the class compared to a set of actual certified judges. And then they also have to, for some of the classes, they have to justify their reasons to the judges. So they have to also, you know, be able to justify why they chose the way that they did. And the last one is course communications, which you, that's the one you're familiar with. So. There are four different aspects of communications. So they can compete in public speaking, individual presentation, team presentation. So it's three. Yeah, sorry about that. And again, same thing. They county level onto regional level onto state level, and if they do well there, they get chosen for the nationals team. And so I think that's probably a little bit self-explanatory. So you can either think public speaking is exactly that, stand at a podium, you give a speech, presentations, they get to use PowerPoint or other kind of aids to help them out. They're really quite good, actually, for the ages that they are to be able to get up and do that. So the national competitions, the Eastern National 4-H Horse Roundup, happens every November. So we just recently got through, about a month ago. They went down, they competed. We always have a really good showing for New York. And this year was no exception. So in total, so you can see here that there were 310 contestants from 26 states from across the U.S., all right? And all of our teams, so all four of our educational teams placed in the top 10 at this national competition. So this is an effective program that we have. We had, just to go through it really quickly, so the Hippology team placed fourth and three out of four of the segments, and fourth overall. So they just missed that last one little segment where they didn't place in the top 10. The horse bull team, the Jeopardy type team, they placed fourth overall as well. The judging team placed sixth in their confirmation classes, and they were just outside the top 10 in the written classes and giving their reasons, justifying their reasons. And the communications team placed 10th overall, and we actually have the individual.
Morgan Cotter placed, there was a three-way tie.
Three-way tie, place, yes.
And she ended up placing fifth.
Yeah, after the tiebreakers. So we did have an individual that placed higher, and the whole team as a general team placed 10th. So very good year, very successful year for those competitions. And just to try and not take up too much of your time here.
We would just like to challenge you to help continue to provide support to the next generation of equine industry workforce. Just thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate that. You have anything to add in?
No.
Awesome.
any questions, or we just appreciate your time and opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, folks. Appreciate that. The fourth grant proposal is Racing Under Saddle. Last year, we provided a grant to Racing Under Saddle for $5,000. This year, the organization is requesting $8,000. The 2015 Fair Series included 9 races at 7 different fairs across the state. Next year, they intend to add 3 or 4 more, and that's the reason for the slight increase. This is allowed, and they qualify under our law. And Under Saddle is another way to promote and enhance New York's standardbred breeding and racing programs. Is someone here for Racing Under Saddle?
The girl contacted me. She said she could not make it. She was starting a new job, Michelle Miller. I know she's very passionate about this. She's into it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Fifth grant is proposals from the Association of Agricultural Fairs. They have requested a grant of $5,200 to print and distribute Fairless brochure, which they've been providing for the past several years. The fund has since 2013 provided assistance to them in doing these brochures. This is qualified. I don't think there's anyone here from the fairs. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. The sixth proposal from the Harness Forth Youth Foundation. They've submitted a grant request to the fund in the amount of $7,500. They've requested these funds to assist their New York activities to introduce and educate young people and their families about standardbreds. They're doing good work in educating and awareness of the racing year. Last year we got them $6,748 and no cents, and conducted a program similar to that proposed in 2016. They also qualify. I don't believe anyone is here from that organization as well. And we had 2 more requests. One from Onondaga Oswego Harness Horsemen's Association. They're requesting $300,000 for the construction of a half-mile-wide jog track and purchasing the equipment associated with that. That's pretty significant since our entire fund budget is $131,000. And this has to do a little bit with the state fair and the plans for the state fair and possible alternative fairgrounds parcel that may be available, or putting a racetrack in a different location. I think there's a couple of challenges with this one. I think they note several sites for where they might build this track, which may be outside our granting authority. And I think, you know, given the governor's interest in the state fair and the project that we have ongoing here at the Department of Ag and Markets on the transformation there, I'm not sure there's a space for this at the state fair. Those plans are still on the drawing board, although quite a lot has been done. The other grant proposal is for Sunshine Horses, which is an aftercare nonprofit entity devoted to providing alternatives to standardbreds after their careers are over. Certainly a worthy program, but our statutory authority does not provide funding for aftercare programs, so we're limited on that one. So we've got a number of proposals in front of us. How would you suggest we allocate our funding?
And our total number that we have is
$131,000.
But we did add. We took the Association of Agricultural Fairs, which was treated differently, and moved it to the grant category this year. So it's a little higher. It was paid out of another fund, but since the members are voting for approval, we consider that a grant, so we moved it over there.
Right.
So the real number should be 131 plus the 5,200, so it's 136.
136,948. That's what we have in our budget.
Last year we were able to give 40 for 4-H and the museum and for the track. If we were to do that, and The RUS program is a good program. I know it got a huge push a few years ago, which rekindled some interest that existed maybe 15 years prior to that. I really don't know if in this country we're ever going to get the same interest that we get in other countries. I think probably 5,000 that we gave last year is, what do you think, Peter? Is that
I think that's
probably fine there?
Fair enough.
The Harness Heart Youth Foundation is a great program. I would assume the 67848 last year was something that was retrofitted to fit what they actually did.
That was actually
kind of an obscure number. I would say if it was within our ability to do somewhere between $6,500 and $7,000, do we have that to do that?
Yeah.
You want to, any thoughts there? I mean,
well, if we, what you're saying is if we do the same amount of money that we did last year, do we have enough money to raise the Harness Youth Foundation from 6,848, say, to 7,200 or 7,500? Do we, is that what you're saying?
If we can, it's certainly as worthwhile a thing. You know, it's a great
see
program.
What it comes up to. We got that enough.
And I know they're doing an alumni program this year, is that right?
The 40th anniversary of the HHYF celebration will be at the museum on June 5th.
So I know they're looking to raise a lot of money for that.
To Sunday, it's for brunch.
But they've had a great success rate with people that go through that program that still participate in the industry at a fairly high level. So it's a very good program.
And a lot of those people will be at the anniversary celebration, I'm sure.
So if we got the money for that, Pete, you think we should add $7,500?
Yeah, if we got enough, I have no problem with that. I'm just trying to total it up quickly.
Well, if you do 75, it comes to, and if you do 5,200, 5,000 comes out to 137,700.
Okay. Brian, as we go through the year, we're anticipating some changes in our cash flow, right?
Yeah, as I said last time, maybe we're a couple $100,000 on the plus side for 2015. We have a little bit more to go throughout the year, but that's probably our bottom line where we're at this point. Have a little bit to play with there. We'll do something a little different here.
Well, if we go with what you have suggested and then entertain going back and looking at it based on our cash flow position later in the year, we could always do that.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, certainly we could.
Okay, no problem.
What's your pleasure?
That.
Want to do that?
I think we should do that.
All right, so we're looking at approving $40,000 for the Harness Racing Museum, $40,000 for the Goshen Historic Track, $40,000 for 4-H, $5,000 for Under Saddle, $5,200 for the New York State Association of Ag Fairs, $7,500 for the Harness Heart Youth Foundation, and that's what we're looking at. That would be the motion.
Yep.
Can I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Do we need to do them all together? Can we do them one at a time?
You can do them all together.
The only thing I would say, in all fairness, I have nothing but praise for the track, and I know they need the money for what they're doing. I don't really think I can vote on anything we do for the track, as I sit on the board there.
Okay.
So I don't know if I should or shouldn't, but I think I should abstain from any final decision that you make. On that.
Okay.
So I think I'd have no problem if you wanted to do that one separately and then
do
vote on
all the others,
all the others together.
Yeah. Everything except the Goshen Historic Track. We need that motion in a second.
I make a motion to approve the Harness Racing Museum Hall of Fame for $40,000, the New York State 4-H for $40,000, the Racing Under Saddle for $5,000, New York State Association of Agricultural Affairs for $5,200 and the Harness Youth Foundation for $7,500.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? So carried. And now we need a motion for the track.
Okay. I make a motion for the Goshen Historic Track to approve a $40,000 grant.
Can I second that?
Yes.
Okay. Seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye, with the exception of duly noted Mike.
Aye.
Well, that seems to be carried. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you for your time, folks, and presentation. Our next item is our consideration of fund policies. There's 22 policies that we have adopted. I would like to reaffirm those policies of the fund for 2016. Does any of the members have any questions? If not, I would ask that we take these collectively and ask for a motion to reaffirm them for 2016. They're all in your packets. These include violence in the workplace, sexual harassment policies, travel policies, time and attendance policies. If you recall, we changed some of these significantly after the audit that was done.
I'd make a motion that we accept these fund policies for 2016.
And a second?
I second it.
For the motion, I need to identify each one of them for the record. Let me go through that. The violence in the workplace, sexual harassment policy, affirmative action policy, cancellation of undeposited, uncashed checks, Project Sunlight, minority and women-owned business enterprises, lobbying policy, hiring policy, equipment control policy, communications and computers policy, credit card policy, cash receipts policy, collections procedures policy, procurement guidelines, whistleblowing policy, records retention policy, investment policy, disposal of property policy, grants policy, internal control policy, time and attendance policy, and travel policy. All of these would be for 2016. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And opposed? So carried. Thank you very much. Item 18, Brian, we're looking at the annual agriculture and New York State Horse Breeding Development Fund 2016 financial audit and the status of that. I know we've sent RFPs out, and can you bring us up to speed on that?
Yeah, we sent three of them out. One group came back. We did it based on all MWBE vendors. We want to make sure we satisfied that. And one of the vendors was a CPA firm, came back and said they weren't doing audits at this time. Another agency came back and they didn't have a lot of government experience. So they were a little tentative regarding that. The third one was a group that the fund had used a couple years back. They do have a lot of government agency experience. We did use them before. It was a good relationship. Everything worked out good. Price-wise, it's all comparable. So it's my recommendation. That's Valley's Vendola, who's a local New York CPA firm. It's my recommendation we use them and get them on board. And again, we had success with them in the past, and I think that they'd be a good choice to do our books again this year.
Okay.
What's the cost, Brian?
$10,000 is the cost this year. So.
Any questions? Can we get a motion and a second?
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve.
What's the name of the firm?
Valles Vendiola. Valles Vendiola.
Okay.
I think they're based out of, they're downstate.
Okay, did they do our financial audit?
And I approve that, make that motion for that company.
And a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Seems to be carried. Item 19 is the SWAG report. Fund provides 2% of its revenue to this committee. Ron is the acting director of the fund and is our statutory designated member. You have a report for us?
On October 19th, I attended the annual meeting of the Harry M. Zwag Memorial Fund for Equine Research. I know a lot of people here might not know the committee was established in 1979 by the New York State Legislature to promote equine health with regard to the racing industry. It's named after Dr. Harry Zwag, who was instrumental figure in passing the Laverne Law in 1965, which provided the foundation for the Sire Stakes program. The committee is administered by the Cornell University's College of Veterinary Medicine by an advisory panel composed of representatives from state agencies and the equine industry. As the commissioner said, I serve as a result of my position as the acting director of the Agriculture New York Horse Breeding Development Fund. Each year, as required by statute, this fund provides funding to the ZWAG Fund. This year, the fund will provide a total of $296,000 to ZWAG to fund research projects. 11 proposals were presented to the committee this year, of which 3 received full funding and 3 received partial funding. The 3 that got full funding will be examining the effects of equine herpes virus vaccination frequency on host immunity to EHV1. It's a 2-year study at $164,000. Redefining the relationship between equine herpes virus and development of equine gastric ulcer syndrome. It's a 1-year study at $50,000. And factors associated with musculoskeletal injuries and catastrophic events in racing horses. That's a 2-year study funded at $148,000. They do great work, and they have in the past, and it was great to be there, listen to the past reports of what the fund has provided, and I look forward to the reports next year on these studies.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. We're circling the field, folks. Our last item on the regular agenda is new and old business, and I think one update that we could give. At our last meeting, we talked about the need for field inspectors and investigators. We noted that on the thoroughbred side, our counterpart there, that they do employ inspectors. And as reported at that meeting, we did hire Joel Levison. He was selected and is paid on a per diem basis to focus specifically on out-of-competition testing, including the county fair races, where he's already spent quite a bit of time. He is going to provide us with a final report any time now here.
Yeah, by the end of
before the end of the year. We have agreed that his work shall not exceed $20,000, and we'll just look forward to that report, probably consider it at our next meeting. Any other new or old business?
I know we didn't get to HHB yet, but a couple things, I don't know if you want to talk about that under HHB, would be the credit card for the nominations.
Yeah, you do that.
Want to do that now or later?
We'll do that when we get to,
okay.
We're going to go back to 3 items on the agenda. Shared services agreement, consideration of our HHB contract for 2016, advertising and promotion with HHB. But before we do that, we need to return to executive session. With all due respect to everyone who's been here, thank you. And we're going to keep the same crowd of people in the rooms at this point. Okay. I would invite Ed Burns to remain in the room as well. Thank you, Ed. Yeah. Wow. Well, we lost a few, I see that. not with malice of forethought. Anyway, thank you everyone for your patience. We concluded our executive session where we discussed personnel matters. Please have the record reflect that the executive session was limited to discussion relative to personnel matters, as provided under Public Officers Law, Section 105.1. So back to the agenda that we skipped over. The next item up was the shared services agreement, and we want to provide an update on that with the Community Commission. We approved the agreement at a prior meeting, and it has been signed by me on behalf of the fund members. Since that time, Rob Williams, Executive Director of the Gaming Commission, has already signed the agreement. The agreement now goes to DOB, the Division of Budget, for approval. After that, it needs approvals from the State Comptroller and the Attorney General. The agreement does not become effective and binding until approved by both the Attorney General and the State Comptroller. funding is allocated in the budget for such services, and we'll keep you apprised as that moves on. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. The next item is Harness Horse Breeders 2016 contract. The contract between the fund and the Harness Horse Breeders is on the agenda today. As we know, the fund was created in order that it can promote the breeding of horses and conduct of equine research in the state on its own responsibility and under its own business management. The policy, good faith, and interest of the state are concerned with the management and development of the fund and are committed to the promotion of horse breeding and equine research in the state. In carrying out this statutory mandate, the Board of Trustees of the Fund has historically recognized and continues to recognize that Harness Horse Breeders of New York State Incorporated as a sole source vendor with respect to the effective and efficient promotion of the standard bred breeding industry as contemplated by the racing law. In this regard, the fund's Board of Trustees recognize that, number one, the mission of HHB is substantially aligned with the mission of the fund, and number two, HHB is the statewide standard bred breeders association representing the majority of the breeders of registered standard breds throughout New York State. And so for these reasons, HHB is uniquely positioned to carry out on a cost-effective basis the measurable objectives of the fund by advancing and promoting the standard bred racing industry and agricultural pursuits generally throughout the state. Betty, Executive Director of Harness Horse Breeders, would you present your contract? I know the HHB and staff have discussed the contract, and it's my understanding that staff is recommending a six-month duration as we continue to seek an executive director. And we'd like to see this at a last year's rate of $158,300. During those discussions, the staff has removed some responsibilities in regards to inspections, but has suggested utilizing those savings for HHB to provide additional promotion and advertising. Betty?
First, I'd like to apologize.
Are you hiding over there?
I'd like to apologize. I was sitting in Schenectady trying to figure out where everyone was.
Oh,
and as I was sitting there, it suddenly dawned on me that you were here, and then I hit every single red light between here and Schenectady. So, again, I apologize. I sent these earlier in an email, but I blew them up for you today so that you would have a better chance to.
Thank you.
Anybody want you want one?
Sure.
Last time we were here, we talked about, and you had asked me to get more information. And in this thing, it's colored pictures of the different ads that are available. On the front are the prices. I talked to Heather, who is now on maternity leave, and then I was switched to Dan Leary at the USDA, as far as which one was most cost-effective and most beneficial to the SIRFIC program. And after looking at it, listening to what they have to say, the main banners on the top, most people go to the homepage too as a launch to wherever they want to go on the website. So even though you get people that go there, they're usually on their way to somewhere else. So having a banner on the top, they usually don't stay there long enough to really look at it. The ones on the side are fine, but people get used to seeing them and then they start ignoring them. The pop-ups, the run of the site pop-ups, which is on page 4, the last one, are all over the site. They pop up randomly. They probably get noticed the most, even though they're the smallest and the least amount of money, because they are on every page and they just keep catching your eye. I think in terms of the money and the exposure, the option number 4, which is the run of the site, which is $500 a month, would be $6,000 for the year, which compared to what you were paying for Harness Racing Update, which was, I believe, $15,000, this is half the price, and that was a one ad every week. This is an ad that we can change every day, which being the fire safe season is great because we can promote track record holders, we can promote payments, any changes to the program, and the Harness Horse Breeders as part of our contract would be administering that, and we could change it at will. When I talked to them, they said that on the weekends they're there until 1 a.m. So if a horse was racing at say 10 o'clock at night, we can do an ad and have it on the website at 8:00 in the morning, which is a great tool to be able to make changes that quickly. Right now, in the contract, I have put $2,000 for development of ads. I believe that we can make them in office. We have the sizes. We now have Adobe Acrobat. But if for some reason we need a special ad or we need a template, I've budgeted that money so that we will not be over budget. There may be a surplus, which if you feel necessary, we can adjust that in June. But I think this is a really great tool for the money, for the fund. And honestly, we really enjoy doing the ads. We enjoy promoting the Sire Stakes program, and we would like to do this for the program.
Okay. Questions, comments?
No. I think that because of the frequency of the site, the frequency of people using that site, obviously there's nothing we can do about the loss of our last vendor. They're gone. But I will say that since that publication changed every 5 days or so, people would read it and wait around and maybe peek at it to see when it came back around again. So we very well may get more bang for our buck here, and certainly more flexibility at a half, at less than half the cost, right?
Yeah.
This is 6 versus 15.
Well, with money that we might need to develop a banner to use, it's half the price.
Right. Well, it seems to make a lot of sense, and I would say that with breeding season upon us and payments around the corner and the possibility of making payments with credit cards or anything new, it's nice to have a way to reach out to people and let them know what's going on with our program. So I think it's probably something we should do.
Okay. Any other advertising and promotion stuff, Betty?
The only other thing that you had asked me at the last meeting was to come up with some pricing and talk to the website person about, and I don't know if that was new business or old business or what, but you had asked me to get some prices for doing payments online.
Okay.
And I talked to that person. I can get into really minute details, but after an extensive conversation, it would cost about $3,500. That's with the anticipation that someday we could build it to be more integrated to the points program. There are concerns about people hacking in. Also, we run into issues like the yearlings are never entered. They all have to be checked to make sure they're eligible and then entered manually. So yearling payments couldn't be made at this point. You can't use a horse's name because they change their names like we change our socks. So we also have ownership changes that are, you know, repeated. So we would have to do it with tattoos. Like I said, there was a lot of thought into it, but that was just one thing. So if you want to go forward with it, he can have it ready to go by the middle of January. But it's he said it's going to be about $3,500.
That'd be $3,500 a year or $3,500 to get it set up?
To do the whole programming. Once it's set up, once it's set up, people would call in to make their payments, and they would be able to update the ownership, update the horse's name. They could go in, enter a horse. None of it would go into the database because we always have to make sure that the horse is actually eligible before it just goes into the database. So there would be a place where they can click to provide the new information, so we would get an email telling us that the horse's name or the ownership had changed, rather than finding out when they start racing. The other thing is that if we use PayPal, it's 2.9% plus 30 cents. I have no idea what the 30 cents is, but it's 3.9 if it's anyone that's out of it's international. He also suggested that we have a disclaimer, so if people pay in, there's no guarantee that horse is actually eligible. They can pay into it. But if for some reason it's not eligible, you're not committing yourself to taking that payment, and it would be refunded. There would also be a disclaimer that they would not get their 30 cents back if the horse wasn't eligible. They would get their 2.9 or 3.9 back. But to protect the fund, it was a suggestion that we have this disclaimer.
If they're making payments on a horse that was never eligible to start with, we can't take it.
If they put in a tattoo number and the horse is not in the system, they would have to contact us.
Okay.
But if they put in a tattoo number for whatever reason and the horse didn't, say, have a February 2-year-old payment, it wouldn't be eligible. So they might be able to go on there, find the horse, and try to put in a payment, but the horse isn't eligible to sire stakes because it didn't make the 2-year-old payment.
Right.
So there is some work that no matter what we do, we can't automate it completely.
And so that be your system, Betty?
This is the funds database.
I know, but this is, will this be,
this will
your
be on
location
your site.
Or
yeah,
my location? It will be like my location, okay.
I believe right. It's on your site, or it would be on the points program site. When you okay. go to that site, you'd right. see, hey, but the database for the points is all on a separate server. It's not ours, it's not yours, it's on a separate
no,
server.
No, I'm just concerned about, you know, the money coming in and, you know.
Well, what he's saying.
Accordingly and all that, you know.
Well, what he's saying is the money would come in to you, mm-hmm. directly to you. We wouldn't see any money at all.
Sure.
You would have to set up the PayPal account, get everything organized, and then send him the link. He would build into the site. Then at that point, the payments would go to you, and you would get a notice saying the payments had come in. We would get a notice saying that this horse was paid in. We would verify everything. Then we would send you an email saying, yes, you know, whether we forwarded you the email or whatever.
What about the backup? You know, there's a lot of backup to every payment we get, so.
Well, that's going to be your department. I mean, it's going to be a Visa credit card payment, so
I
don't know how
you. Yeah, but it's going to be the horse. It's going to be, you know, what stakes race they're paying. I mean, there's a lot of details.
Yeah, no, all of that will come to us in an email. Okay. We'll go through, check it off in the database that everything's paid, the horse is eligible.
Okay.
Then we will either send that to you on a list like we send now where every check comes to you.
Okay.
So there will be a backup as far as you'll get a notification.
Yeah, I'm just trying to cover all the bases.
Yeah.
That's all.
No, it won't be much different now. Instead of getting a check, you'll just get the
how much out. Information, without it being a huge problem, can you get on that form that you're getting for the sire stakes? Is it a
for
huge
example.
Problem for them to list? So I know that we're not overly concerned about the horse's name if we have their tattoo. Is it a lot to ask for the owners and trainers of the horse at that time?
Well, these are 2-year-olds. They may go to a different trainer.
Go to a different trainer, but I'm kind of, you know, if somebody's willing to just give me that information, I wouldn't be allergic to getting it.
I agree with you. And what we are planning on doing is asking the people to provide the owner
and current
and their
trainer.
Address. Well, their owner, address, phone number, and email. Because what we're trying, what we're anticipating is that eventually, like when we had the issue at Vernon a couple years ago, it was really hard to contact all the people that had been there. What we're hoping to do is eventually have a database of all the emails or phone numbers so that we would be able to like do a mass email letting these people know that there's an issue, more of a safety issue.
Maybe
you know,
a contact person with each horse.
But
so if you don't want to call them a trainer, I mean, it's just going backwards for some of the other stuff we're doing. One, it would be great, you know, when we have things like a draw change or something like that, which they all scream at you afterwards. Having a contact person on a horse is great, but also for our own records, you know, down the road, I think it's very nice if we accidentally have some success or whatever you want to call with our out of competition testing. I'm not sure catching anybody's even success, but we have a way to go backwards to city of origin on who's responsible for these horses. It sometimes makes a really big difference. Because as we know, the person listed on the program isn't always the person who's truly responsible for what's going on. And I think when they're making the payment, they might inadvertently say one thing, and then in July, it may say something else. And it might be useful for us just to have that down the road. I don't think it's a bad thing to try to acquire.
Well, we definitely, if you want us to ask for the trainers and the contact information, we can do that, but just keep in mind that in this time of year and in January, a lot of these horses are still down south and they will be coming up to someone different. But if you want to include that, we have no problem. It's just a matter of what you want to write into the database for information that you require.
What do you think?
I think that'd be a great idea. I mean, even if they are in Florida, at least we know trainer A had or this horse was here, now it's up here and then.
And not everything's a bad thing.
No.
Sometimes it's exactly on the up and up and everything.
Right.
Every once in a while, somebody gives you something that maybe they like. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Okay, we can do that. That's not a problem.
And,
but it's whatever you guys want. It's your program.
And the horses get sold, you know, which makes all that information completely null and void as well. But, you know, for you, having a contact person on the horse that has 4 or 5 owners, sometimes that's really helpful too.
Okay.
So I don't think that's a bad field to have filled out.
And Betty, you said it was how much?
He said it would be around $3,500.
And that's just a one-time?
That's a one-time.
Yeah,
fee.
I mean, that's.
And it would be done.
Is there any, along with the one-time fee we're paying him, is there any commitment from the person that sets it up to help us maintain this to some level over time?
Yeah, you guys have a yearly contract. Or you guys have a, well, he's your webmaster. He bills you yearly. There's a yearly web fee. It's, I want to say it's like $500 a year or something like that. It was in the web proposal. You haven't been billed it yet because it was just created in April. So, but he's on 24/7. You can call him any time of the day or night.
That Marcelo?
Yeah.
And that we're already paying that. That's not an additional five. That's part of our web.
Right.
There is no other fee. No. Usually, okay, when we call him, it's he doesn't even bill us.
Okay. All right. Well, need to get a little bit back in order here. But yeah, is there anything else about your contract that you have to say that we need to hear?
I think everything is pretty spelled out there. We've changed a couple of the duties as far as the inspection issues that were removed, the county fairs and the farm inspections. We're going to be doing the advertising. Because there's going to be almost a daily changing of these ads, I have included a little bit for people for a part-time. I think there's only a couple thousand. If we have to have someone come in and pull stuff envelopes or whatever it might be. But other than that, there really is no changes. I think we're still providing all the services. And just so you know where we are right now, the stallion directory is probably 3/4 of the way done. I've sent over a bunch of the files for these gentlemen to proof.
That's
the annual report is probably, I'd say, about a 1/3 of the way done right now. That's due the end of January. Everything is on schedule.
Okay. Long she brought that up, the proofy. Okay. I know you make out the stallion directory. We're supposed to proof it.
Well, I don't know who's supposed to prove
well,
it.
Well, this is my question. Is I just got the emails what, yesterday, day before, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a bunch of them there. It's kind of hard to proof something when you don't even know what you're proofing because, let's say, for instance, you have the section on the all the stallions or the stallion farms. You got phone numbers. You got addresses. You got addresses for harness horse people, horsemen's associations. If we're supposed to proof it, there's nothing really to proof because we don't even know what the right phone numbers or right addresses or whatever they. So how are we supposed to? I mean, what are you looking at us for the proof?
Well, for instance, I sent you the one ad or the one with the.
That's why. Picture.
Well, the county fair. Well, a lot of them were just so that you can see them. If you saw something you found offensive or you didn't like.
Yeah.
But I sent, like, for instance, the sire stakes pages. And I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of time, for years and years, it's always said Excelsior State Fair. Well, then it occurred to me after I sent it to you that there is no Excelsior State Fair. So after I sent it to you, I went back and had her take the Ann State Fair out. But that's kind of what I need, you know, I just want feedback from you. There was another spot. I looked through them. We approved them and proofed them. Marianne does them, Judy does them, I do them. The county fair 2-year-old pace and fillies. If you go down about halfway down, the horse had made, there was an extra zero. So the horse made something like $300,000 instead of a county fair horse making $3,000.
Mm.
Those are really, we send the pages to the tracks and ask them to provide the information. So most of that's provided. It's more content. And, you know, if you see any major mistakes, one year we had at the top of the page 2,000 in the wrong year. You know, you look at these pages, over and over again, and you start not seeing them. Pete can tell you he had a 3-year-old that was a 2-year-old 1 year. I have no idea how it happens. It's like the gremlins come in and change things on you. So that's really what I just wanted you to look at.
Pair of eyes.
And then at the end, I know we've been through this before in our meetings, but who's responsible at the end for the stallion directory? The fund?
The fund signs off on everything.
So if there's a mistake or something's done wrong in there, that you guys in the stallion directory, we're actually the funds, in your terms, the fund is actually responsible for the mistakes or whatever.
Well, when I send you the pages and you guys proof them, at that point, and it says with direction from the fund. So, I mean, we do everything we possibly can. I send it to every director that was there, asking them to approve it.
But like I said, I wouldn't know what I'm proofing, because I wouldn't know if the telephone numbers are right, the addresses are right, if the ads were right. You see what I'm saying?
Well, the ads are normally paid for and sent in by the people. They do a final.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm getting at is, I mean, what I'm getting at is, if there is something that's critical, that when you guys put this together and it comes out wrong, and it becomes a legal issue or something, who at the end of the day is responsible for it?
Would it be unfair?
That's my
As
point.
Peter would say, it may not be as easy for him to know where somebody else puts their stuff. What if, when you had your final copy made of anything we were going to put in our stallion directory, you went back to the person that was placing it? Okay, let's pick on the people I used to work for. Let's say Blue Chip Farms is putting an art major thing in your. Is it so unfair to ask them to proof the page you're going to put in and sign off on it with you?
So they do approve every page now.
Yeah, so if they're doing that and they approve it,
the only thing
you know, at the end of the day, we're getting their approval on something they know something about.
They pay for the ad. They send me the changes. I make the changes. I send it back. When it's finally approved, then it goes in the book. The only pages really that are, quote, yours are the statistics, the, you know, the sire stakes, earnings, you know, all of those things. And again, there's typos. I can tell you how many times we proof it. They happen. Now, I know 2 years ago there was a problem with a phone number.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I could pick a million people to make a mistake with, but that's not.
But had that person's signature been on a copy of that paper in your file saying she was good with it, it would have alleviated some of your problems.
Well,
that's not the problem. There was no advertisement for that.
There was no advertisement. What happens is we get to January 1st, and when we get to January 1st, that's when the deadline is. And that's pretty much when I schedule to go to print, as soon as those payments come in. The last January 1st deadline payments come in. We usually wait a few days for the mail. At that point, we're into the 4th. Our contract says that we have to have it out by the end of January, beginning of February. So we try to get it to print as soon as possible. This year, that's January 8th. Now, on the first, we start doing that whole page of eligible stallions, which is not an advertisement. It's the fund listing all the stallions and what they stand for and their contact information. And I know what happened in this particular year, in that particular year. But anyway, that's the last page we do. And again, that page was done last. It was sent to the executive director at that point. And it was approved. Then he went down with us to the printer and sat down and went through all the pages. He had the contracts. They could have been proofed. He signed off on the book and it went to print. I don't know what more we could have done. I mean, the mistake happened because we had a horse that came in the mail. We inserted it in a line, and apparently when we inserted it, everything moved except that phone number. And it got jumbled.
Okay.
And like I said, there's a lot of people I could have made mistakes with, but I have really bad luck, so.
Okay. All right. We got a little housekeeping to do here. Good on the contract from your standpoint?
Yes.
I got one more thing in the contract.
Okay.
Mike and I were talking about this. I was talking with Janet. I know, just going through it, it has hit me the other night, horse replace. Mm-hmm. I know we've had them archived from years. I know we deleted them from the Cyrus, from the Harness Horse Breeders replace. We do have the current ones, and I know under HHB, we board of directors made the thing they didn't want to spend. It was going to cost like $6,000 a year to keep those archived. Okay, and they voted not to spend the money to archive them. Is there any way that we can keep an archive and put it into the New York Sire Stakes website, and we'll pay to keep these things archived?
They are in our current contract, and they are in the budget, so the fund is currently paying for them.
Right, but and I mean, you're deleting them year after year now.
Well, no, what happened is last year we had to do an overhaul on the website because a lot of things had changed. The formats of the replays had changed, and we couldn't show them anymore. I contacted Roberts Replays, which provides all the replays for all the tracks and so forth, and I asked them to provide them in a format that we could use. They refused. So the only option for us to use those replays was to change the website so that we could use the format they were providing. Because if you clicked on them, they would not open. Even on your phone, your laptop, nothing. So we changed the website. We can now use them. It's done. The other ones are still there, and I'm going to try to put them back on. But currently, it is in the contract. You are paying for it, and we have to provide them for the fund.
So they are being archived, up with the exception of not being able to see.
You're going to have to go back through all the years that we have and try to put them back on.
Well, we had 2-3 years, but I'm going to try to get them to put them all back on. They are still there. If we can't actually load them, what I'm hoping we can do is make a link to the archives and people can still get to them, but they are there.
Okay. I know we have all the emails from them all.
Yeah.
But it would be very tedious to take every one
of
them. I know. I've done it.
They are in the contract. They are provided.
So, since we've rechanged the ones that we've gotten, like this year, they'll be there forever.
I would hope forever.
And they're still charging us $12,000 or $6,000 a year?
Yes. Okay. Something like that.
And that goes to who?
Roberts Communications.
Rob needs the $6,000 a year. So basically, they're charging us $6,000 a year to receive those.
It's a little less than that, but there's we do have other fees associated with putting them on and so forth.
Okay.
They're
there. Okay.
Alrighty. And I'm good with everything else.
This resolution is included in your packet, but I think first we need a motion to be made recognizing the Harness Horse Breeders as a single source vendor with respect to the effective and cost-efficient promotion of the standard bred breeding industry as contemplated by the racing law. And that competitive bidding with respect to this matter would be wasteful and non-productive. Resolution will further provide that the fund is authorized to enter into a promotional services, educational, and consulting contract with HHB consistent with the measurable objectives of the fund in an amount to be determined by the Board of Directors. Finally, that any such contract with HHB shall provide that, number one, the fund shall monitor closely HHB's performance to ensure that the measurable objectives of the fund as stated herein are being delivered in a timely and cost-efficient manner. Number two, the fund shall require on an annual basis an accounting from HHB to ensure its compliance with the requirements of the contract. And number three, the fund may terminate the contract with or without cause upon 30 days written notice, except that if such termination is for cause, the fund may terminate the contract immediately. Can I have a motion to accept the sole source resolution that will allow us to approve a contract with HHB?
I'll make that motion.
I have to abstain from this.
Okay. I'll second it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. And now may I have a motion to approve the contract between the fund and the HHB for 6 months, commencing on January 1st, 2016, at $158,300. I'm going to add one addition to that contract that you have, and that is, Mark?
Yes, Commissioner. consistent with other agencies and other contracts that are implemented across the spectrum of New York State, it's important that we include an equal employment opportunity provision in here. It's also known as affirmative action provision, which basically states that the vendor and the fund are committed to promoting a civil and a professional workplace, and that all steps will be taken to avoid any actions, behaviors, or the words that create a hostile workplace, and that the provision will be consistent with all executive orders and all policies in the state of New York that are adopted to promote professionalism and civility in the workplace. It's known as the EEO clause. It's actually something that's in, as I said, other contracts that are adopted by other agencies, and they can be found in just about every contract in the contract report of New York State. And I would recommend that we do the same with all contracts in the funds, not just this one, but any subsequent contract.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Can I have a motion?
I'd make a motion to accept the contract with that clause in there as well.
And a second?
I am standing in.
Okay, I'll do that. All in favor, as noted, with the amendment provided by Mark, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All in favor, that said aye, seems to be carried.
We covered seven.
And we covered seven already.
Yes, sir.
The contract, once signed, will be sent to the Attorney General's office and the Comptroller's office for the sign-off. Thank you. You just set a world record, I think, in length of fun. But thank you for your attention. Thank you for your passion about this industry and your time and travel. And have a great holiday, everybody. I would now call for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you so much.
We were voting on the adjournment.
No, 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 no.